Thank you, choirs. Alan, thank you so much. That's a powerful message from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. God's people were depressed. The people of God were in exile. They were hopeless. They felt like there was no light that could come into their darkness. They were captives. They were hostages in a foreign land. If you want to know their mood, look at the 137th Psalm, where it reads, "By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. We hung our musical instruments on the trees. There was no joy. There was no music. Everything that they held dear had been taken away from them. The holy city, Jerusalem, had been destroyed. The temple, the very presence, the symbol of God himself had been burned to the ground and laid in ashes. They had watched as innocent children, women and men, had been slaughtered. They had been separated from their families. They had been taken away in chains." You want to know what depression is? Read the first chapter of Lamentations that was written during this time. It talks about weeping bitterly in the night. It talks about a pain, an inner pain that's so great that there's audible groaning. It talks about a downfall that is appalling. And four times in the first chapter of Lamentations we read, "And there was no one to comfort me. There was no one to comfort me." You ever feel depressed? You feel out of sorts? Here we are. It's supposed to be a season of joy. The children are bouncing off the walls, aren't they? But in your heart, it's just the opposite. You hear the beautiful music. You know there's supposed to be light and joy and happiness, but it's not there. That's one reason that this focus on mental health is so very important. Because when you feel lonely, you may say, "There's no one to comfort me." For the people who were in Babylon, for 150 years, God had been silent. But then the opening words of the 40th chapter of Isaiah that Don read just a moment ago, there is a voice. There is a lone voice crying in the wilderness, and the words are, "Comfort ye." And Handel did such a brilliant job of crafting this at the very beginning of the Messiah when you hear that beautiful tenor voice in the silence singing, "Comfort ye, comfort my people." You see, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, that's about judgment. But when we begin the 40th chapter, it's about deliverance. It's about hope. It's about a promise. What the prophet says is, God has said enough is enough. You have suffered for your sins. The sentence has been paid. The penalty has been satisfied. All of the punishment is now over. It's time for God's people to come back home. It's time to come back and reclaim everything that is good, everything that is positive, everything that brings joy and fulfillment in life. And that sounds great, doesn't it? But boy, it's easier said than done. Let me explain the problem that they had. Now, I want you to imagine a map. Those of you in the Bible study, we looked at a lot of maps, but I want you to imagine a map of the Babylonian Empire. Now, we're going to start over here in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is home. So in your mind, picture this is the Mediterranean. Harold, you're swimming in the Mediterranean. Don't drown, brother. All of you on this section, that's the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if you imagine a map, you know, this is Israel, and then you have Lebanon, and you have Syria, and up there is Turkey. These beautiful, beautiful flowers, that would be Jerusalem. You know where Babylon is? Well, you have to go way over here. In fact, Beverly, are you there? I hate to tell you this, but you're in Babylon. This is Babylonian captivity over here. I know Beverly probably feels that way a lot of Sundays. But this is Babylon way over here. Here's home. Here's Jerusalem way over here. Now, the problem is, how are you going to go from there to here? It was almost 600 miles. But that really wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem is, you know what all this is? This is desert. This is desert. There's no way to support life. There's no water. And not only that, there were deep, deep valleys that you could not cross. There were high mountains that you could not climb. The terrain was often so rough, there was no way that you could go through. But did you hear what the prophet said? Every valley will be exalted. Every mountain, those mountains that you cannot climb, will be made low. All of the rough places will be made smooth, and you will be able to go through the desert. You say, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's one thing to say that. It's one thing to be up there and preach about this. But I can't go through a desert. No, but Yahweh can. But God can. You see, the prophet, if you listen to what Don was reading, when this wonderful news came that all the people were going to be coming home, that God was going to lift up the valleys and lower the mountains, he was going to build a super highway, the prophet basically said, I don't believe it. I've heard promises my whole life. I've put my faith in too many people. I've been involved in the community of faith. And let me tell you, you'll get burned. I'm not going there anymore because, you see, the grass withers. The flower fades. And it's not going to last. But here's the good news. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Our joy does not come from the present reality that is. Our joy comes from the promise of God that is to be. That is our hope. That is our promise. And while we can't go through the desert, God can. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you feel like you're in captivity. You're in bondage, and there's no way you can get back home because the valleys are too deep, the mountains are too high, the road is too rough. But listen to the word of God. The valleys are going to be lifted up. God is going to make it possible. And we're going to put our hope and our trust in him because 600 years later, there was a man, a voice crying in the wilderness. And his name was John the Baptist. And he quoted this scripture from Isaiah 40. And then he pointed to his cousin, Jesus, and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so you put your hope and your faith and your trust not in other people, not in an institution, but in the living Christ. And when you do, you understand that there is nothing that is impossible with God. There is no mountain too great to climb with Christ. No valley too deep to overcome. You can make it from your captivity, and you can make it home. Because joy to the world, the Lord is come. That's the message of Christmas, not in the reality that is, but in the promise that will be when we celebrate the presence of Christ.